It's time to think outside the pocket on Saturday Scramble.
I think the Bucks signed their souls away or something.
I look at the Bucks as Augustus Gloop.
Probably really smart, actually, because I write such long.
Yes! Clip that, Riley. Jason said that I'm smart. I go to the gym to fight people.
That's awesome.
On 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
What's poppin', Saturday Scramblers? This is Pablo Iglesias live from the Everlight Solar Studio alongside a well-dressed Riley
Young. Shut your mouth, Pablo. This is the ugliest thing I have ever worn
You put some respect to sweetness, all right?
I'm not disrespecting Walter Payton.
Put some respect to the name Walter Sweetness Payton. He has a statue right in front of the stadium. That is in Chicago, Illinois.
I mean, he's no Gale Sayers, but he was all
right.
Are
you kidding me right now? We're not even a minute into this show, and we've already gotten Bears running back talk and greatest of all times. But hey, once again, Pablo Iglesias,
it's
Riley
just
out
colors,
here.
The font, it's just gross. For those it's disgusting. And Brandon McManus, I hate you. This is your fault.
Well, thank you so much, Brandon McManus, for making sure that Riley Yauch is fitted well for the Saturday Scramble. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch, Owen Dimple behind the glass here, too. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your service last week, too, on Green Bay Game Day, Game Night. We're happy to have you here, too. Owen, what's popping, man?
I'm happy to be here. My first ever Saturday Scramble. I'm excited to start this journey with you guys, and I think we're going to have a good one today.
I think we got a Miz rookie showing on our hands here. Not to hype up too much, but that's the vibe that we get here on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. We put a poll question out, too, so make sure you join us here on the Saturday Scramble. We got, honestly, straight up some breaking news, and don't worry, we'll address Riley wearing his beautiful, beautiful Bears jersey. Thanks
Levi
to the Green Bay Packers
in the YouTube chat saying what's up. What's up, Eli? Glad to have you here. first time listening to the show. Appreciate you.
It's amazing stuff.
But I appreciate that you feel bad. This sucks.
I think it's great.
This is what happens. I was uber confident last week heading into the Packers Bears game. I was trying to put the fear of God into Pablo. Put some skin in the game, and unfortunately, Packers came up short, and now I'm stuck in this grotesque excuse for a uniform.
See what happens when you celebrate early, boys? You see what happens when you are in open field and you celebrate at the 20, all of a sudden you become DeSean Jackson or whichever players have done it before, too, and suddenly the ball is fumbled and you drop it at the 1 and it turns out to be a turnover. It's funny how things happen.
I wasn't celebrating early. I was just confident.
Were you not celebrating early? It felt like you were celebrating a little early.
I was not celebrating. I had a strong belief in the Green Bay Packers that they were going to beat the Chicago Bears. And unfortunately, I was wrong.
Man.
That's it.
This is just pure. I'm glad I went with sweetness too. You can join us at the Carvers.
Better than Caleb. Though.
Feel free. We had a lot of Chicago people too jumping in on this last week. So hopefully we get those fans back. I think I sent like at least 7 different people the text message to the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. You can also join us in the Carbless Talk at text line 844-770-3776. This is more to jump in on the conversation. Riley, you and I both woke up to, do we want to call it breaking news? We could kind of call it that. We developments over,
yes,
over at Lombardi.
Development's a good word.
The quietness, and maybe after this show, we got to do what everybody else did. If you're Ed Policy, Matt LaFleur, and Brian Gutekunst, go to the American Club at Kohler, because it sounds like the extensions are on the way. We don't have anything written, set in stone just yet, but it feels like that Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, which I don't even think we really talked about him throughout the entire week, sounds like they're going to be here to stay in Green Bay for a little bit. We don't know what the numbers look like. We don't know what the dollar signs look like. But either way, your quick reactions to this, as we talk about this throughout the entire show, I want to get your gut reactions. How did you feel when you woke up this morning to that news?
Yeah, so I was laying in bed, and I was hearing bzz, 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 bzz. My phone kept going off, and I tried to go back to sleep, and it kept going off. Kept bzz, 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 text, text, text.
This was
text,
like
text.
9 o'clock or something. This was 8:30.
Exactly. I was sleeping in. I was getting prepared for the show by sleeping.
I was getting more rest.
And that made me realize, I was like, this many texts, it has to be LaFleur news. So I check, I see the Shefty bomb on my phone, or maybe more of a Shefty grenade, I guess. Not very huge, but the developments that LaFleur is coming back.
And he's dropped on the map, at least.
I was very relieved.
Yeah.
I'm glad we finally have something, even if it's not, it's concrete, even if the concrete isn't fully set yet. We have a motion, and while we all assumed this is going to happen, I'm very relieved that we can move forward knowing that Matt LaFleur is coming back, Goody's coming back, and I'm fired up. I'm fired up for next season already, and I think Matt LaFleur is going to go on a revenge tour. I'm excited.
The revenge tour. I mean, it's not like that the division's going to get any easier.
No.
I mean, if you're Dan Campbell, too, and looking at the man who you helped build as an offensive coordinator. One of my good friends who I was with over the holiday break before I came back to Madison, Detroit Lions fan, he said, you guys are so lucky. I miss my play-calling demon in Ben Johnson. So I love that. I got to stick with play-calling demon. But the NFC North's not going to be easy, man. And I respect the Green Bay Packers. A lot of things, yes, of course, there were curveballs and all that, and take it for what it's worth. But when it comes down to it, I'm curious to see how this team is going to operate. And we'll talk about that some more here throughout the Saturday Scramble. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch, and Owen Dimple behind the glass here on 100.5 ESPN Madison. It's the word that I used, though, Riley, was ominous, that we didn't hear a lot of we didn't hear a lot of chatter throughout all of Lombardi Avenue. What was happening? Why was it taking so long? You're hoping that it's not that I said that it was more of, a lot of people were speculating that it could be a divorce, and I felt like it was kind of more a couples therapy, if you will, right? Because we know that the relationship's a little fractured. There are some tough feelings. Nobody wanted to end that season that way. Well, you know.
You did. But
no, I didn't
no
say
one,
I did.
No one at 1265 wanted the season to end that way.
But it's, yeah, because I would say, too, as truthfully as a Chicago Bear fan, I did not think that it would have been the right move to fire Matt LaFleur. It would have been a catastrophic move. Let me ask you this too real quick, because I saw right after we got the Shefty bomb, the John Harbaugh news with the New York Giants, they're still trying to work out a deal for that. Do we think we will get the official news of Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur official before we get that John Harbaugh is announced as the coach of the New York Giants? It's taken way too long for that one to happen, and we know that it's more than likely going to happen. Is he waiting for something else? Is it just like, hey?
Trying to figure out coordinators, trying to figure out the monetary situation, or like we were hearing with Matt LaFleur, maybe he wants more years, wants more security on his contract. I'm not sure. But when it comes to Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, I understand this may be an unpopular take. I don't know. Maybe there's a silent majority of Packers fans who wanted LaFleur back, but I know we have, at the very least, a very vocal segment, including the Brazilian Branco in the YouTube chat right now. And I understand, also, Brazilian Branco, I'm not a Bears fan. I lost a bet. I have to wear this stupid jersey. I'm not a Bears fan. I'm a Packers fan. Anyways, now that that's off my chest.
Oh, message redacted.
Okay,
hey,
thank you.
We saw the receipts, Brazilian Branco.
I appreciate that.
Branco, sorry, apologies.
Thank you for taking that back. I'm not a Bears fan.
Wow.
So, I understand there's a lot of concern. And do I think changes need to be made? And Matt LaFleur's staff, especially if Jeff Hafley takes a head coaching job, does a change need to be made at the special teams coordinator? Absolutely. Should Rich Bisaccia have been fired immediately?
Yes.
He should not have been allowed on the plane ride home. He should be gone, out the door, vamos, already. Changes need to be made for next season. But removing Matt LaFleur in the middle of the Packers' championship window with Jordan Love and Micah Parsons, in my mind, would have been the stupidest thing the Packers could have done. It would have made absolutely no sense. I understand the collapse was brutal. It hurt. That mostly is on Matt LaFleur. You cannot choke that game away. However, I think he presents the Packers the absolute best chance at winning moving forward at head coach.
There, it felt like, too, that there was a lot more leverage than Packer fans believe that Matt LaFleur had. And maybe
he could have chosen any job on the market if the Packers let him go.
You could have wrote this one out. You could have been like, all right, well, I'll just have the year. But Ed Policy said straight up, I don't like lame duck years. I don't like what we would have with a lame duck year. what can we do now to make this organization better? And we'll get into this over these next 2 hours, and you're hanging out with us here. Hopefully you're staying warm, enjoying yourself. It's looking like a snow globe outside, so hopefully you're getting taking care of your errands, whatever the case is on this Saturday, as we as you follow along the journey with us and trying to react to the breaking quote-unquote news that something's happening, which is crazy again. And I just go back to that word of ominous, but there's some other words too that we'll get into over these next couple of hours. And shout out to Brazilian Branco rescinding his statement. My bad, bro. It's okay.
You're
man.
All good, man. No worries. I understand.
We appreciate
the confusion,
you. That's
unfortunately.
He's got the number one crown too. That's our number one Saturday scrambler, right behind Levi Rahm. So number two. We already got some power rankings out here for our Saturday scrambler. So like I said, fill that in on the ESPN Madison YouTube chat. It was popping last week.
Yes.
So make sure you jump there. Also onto the Carbless Talking text line. List is more 844-770-3776. It looks like we also got a caller too. Why don't we take the caller in our first block? Why not? We got Reggie from Texas.
Yeah,
what's up, man? I'm gonna be in Dallas in a few weeks. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, how are you, man? I'm not too close to Dallas. I'm over down here, closer to Houston. So, but Texas is a big place, as you well know. First of all, good morning, gentlemen. My point was this. We all know the Packers went 0-5 their last five games, but over the last 11, they went 4-7. Now, that's a pretty good sample size for the season. Now, this is the second time, I told your call, it's the second time in the last 4 years they've had an implosion during the year with LaFleur. I think we've got a good sample size. If you want to win championships, I think we've already seen that. I don't think we're going to get there with, and I use the term we. The Packers aren't going to get there with LaFleur. I think that's been made obvious. As far as him firing or hiring any coaches, would you take a chance on working for LaFleur right now if he called you, with not knowing whether he's going to be the coach past next year? His viability of getting coaches to work with him isn't that high right now.
That's a great question, from Reggie. Appreciate the call, man.
Yes, thank you,
it's
Reggie.
A great
that was
question.
Fantastic. Yeah, I would. I think it looks like the extension. Matt LaFleur was concerned about getting years and security on his extension. I don't think the Packers will fire him next year unless it's an absolute disaster of a season, and probably there'd have to be less injuries plus the disaster. More than likely, he's getting three more years as the Packers head coach. He's getting three more opportunities with Jordan Love and Micah Parsons under contract. So I wouldn't be too worried personally if I'm a coordinator with an opportunity to work under LaFleur, especially if you're a DC coming in, you get an opportunity to coach Micah Parsons. Do things need to be shored up in the secondary and at linebacker with Rashawn Gary? Yes.
We name the names? Oh, okay, we are.
100%.
Yeah.
Keyshawn Nixon, Rashawn Gary, not big fans of them. The Packers need to improve linebacker, pass rush outside of Micah Parsons and in the secondary. DC, that seems like a great gig. Do they need a kicker? Yes. Brandon McManus, don't want him back. Special teams coordinator job, that needs to come open. I love the opportunity to have that position personally. And I understand, I disagree with you, Reggie, but I totally see where you're coming from with the large sample size and the implosions over the past couple of seasons. Personally, I believe, and this, you can call me out if this sounds like excuse making, but the Packers had a very high chance of having a 7-game win streak heading into that second Chicago Bears game if Jordan Love puts 5 more feet of air on the ball, on that deep ball to Christian Watson. This is a lot of coulda, shoulda, woulda's. I understand. But that
you played three great quarters, though, too, right? You
can
hang up the banner.
That pass even falls incomplete. Shut up, Pablo. I've had enough with you.
I'm surprised I've kept a straight face during this entire time.
You employ Micah Parsons slightly differently. Doesn't pop his ACL. Packers hold on to win that game. Things are different. I understand. Sounds like excuses, but I don't think the Packers are that far away, and I don't think we've seen the ceiling of the Green Bay Packers with Matt LaFleur and with Jordan Love. I think he has the capability of being a championship-winning head coach. I think we've seen that in flashes. It just hasn't been consistent enough, and I understand if after 7 years that inconsistency is enough for you to want to move on, but I'm not there yet.
Are the Packers the kings of the first 45 minutes of a football game?
Damn, yeah, put
right
up the banner. Put it up. Kings of the first 45. Well, to answer your question real quick, Reggie, of would I play under Matt LaFleur? My answer is yes, but I want to talk about some more stuff, too, as to what concerns me now moving forward. If I were a player, I would play under Matt LaFleur. He does have support of the locker room, but I want to get into some more stuff, too, here on the Saturday Scramble. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Young, Owen Diffel behind the glass on 100.5 ESPN Madison. This is the Saturday Scramble.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Hey, good morning, Saturday Scramblers. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Auk here, live from the Everlight Solar Studio on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Sounds like we're getting out to Texas, too.
Yeah.
I love it, man. What
Nationwide.
A start. What a start. Hey, let's get international now, too. And you could jump onto the Saturday Scramble poll question that we put out last night, because you know what? We're late birds. We want to see what's going on. Under Matt LaFleur, do the Green Bay Packers have a clear identity, clear in all caps, because we want to know how you feel about this team. And at first, when I put out the poll, it was yes by a slim margin. Started to jump out in front. Now, all of a sudden, we got about 131 votes in this bad boy. 67.2% say no. Riley, your thoughts right off the top. Do you think the Green Bay Packers under Matt LaFleur, I believe it's 6-7 years like that? Jesus.
Yep. We've moved past 6-7.
I know,
it's okay.
I know. Take it. You know what I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
You know.
I would disagree with the majority. I think the Packers do have an identity under Matt LaFleur, and that is offensively excellent, defensively challenged, sans Micah Parsons.
Yep.
And soft. Unfortunately, that has been the identity of the Green Bay Packers under Matt LaFleur. I do think, though, one caveat to the softness is that Matt LaFleur has responded before when he has been directly called soft. Whenever, like, the soft allegations get their strongest, he responds. I remember specifically when the Lions were first on the scene and Dan Campbell, those first couple of years, just ate LaFleur's lunch.
Yeah.
And it was clear that the Lions were the more physical, the more dominant team, and they just ran over the Packers. It was embarrassing. And then I remember the next year, LaFleur responded, and the teams remembered that, and they kicked the crap out of the Lions. They took what was theirs, and they responded incredibly well and matched the physicality, matched the toughness. Unfortunately, that's only happened in spurts. It hasn't been consistent. So I mentioned at the top the revenge tour. I think next year, especially during the Bears games, I don't think a collapse is going to happen. The Bears are going to have to win it straight up. And I don't think the Packers are going to be out-toughed or out-manned. And you can thank Ben Johnson and his comments.
Thank
and
you, Ben.
His frostiness for that. So I think 100...
Frost the Packers, right?
Yes, whatever.
We have FCC violations that we don't want to. We don't want Owen to have to put the dump button on. Right, Owen? He's pushing buttons back there.
Yeah, so I think LaFleur will respond
thank you.
Next year. However, I do think consistently Matt LaFleur-led teams need to be tougher. And that's why I think next year, while LaFleur is the right guy to lead this team, either one of two things need to happen. And this is on Goody. Goody needs to bring in some veteran players. I understand you want to be young. You want to you don't want to waste capital on players past their prime. You don't want to waste premium on players that aren't going to be in the green and gold for too long. I understand. But you need a couple grizzled veterans. Barry Alvarez said on his show this Monday, the best teams are led from within.
Yes.
It's not just on the head coach. Sure, a Dan Campbell probably helps and can instill that toughness, but you need people who have been there before, who know what it's like, who have faced the grind, have faced adversity before, and can lead like a Charles Woodson on that Packers Super Bowl team. You need those kind of guys, and Goody needs to step out of his comfort zone and bring it. It doesn't have to be more than two or three, but some guys in the locker room who people respect, who can stand up and get people's act together so Matt LaFleur can worry about calling plays, which is where he thrives. Or if he still wants to stay young and refuses to bring in anyone past the age of 28, then this is, I guess, on Goody and Matt LaFleur. Then you need to bring in a coach who has that toughness, whether it be a DC if Halfley leaves, special teams coordinator, a strength and conditioning coach, someone that can be the hammer for Matt LaFleur that can lay down the law, and so to speak, if Matt LaFleur isn't going to instill that.
The good thing about the Green Bay Packers, which is... let's take a breather. Let's get off of that one. How are you feeling? You need a breather after that one?
No, I'm good.
It was long-winded.
Was that a preview to Riled Up?
No, we have a different topic for Riled Up.
I think you're going to get riled up based off of my response from Riled Up, so I love this. We're going to build off of that, but that'll be coming up in the second hour. But I appreciate what you're saying, and I hear what you're saying, too, because the culture thing is you got to figure this out. You got to figure out. You don't want to be – there was something that you mentioned with the Detroit Lions games where they were able to respond in spurts. And for me, I think consistently inconsistent feels pretty close to what this Matt LaFleur-era Packers team has been. They've shown us spurts, and heck, even I was a guy, too – who crowned them as Super Bowl champions 2 weeks in because you think you see that monstrous win, dominating win over the Detroit Lions in week one. That's a division win. That's a win that you wanted to get because you had that circled on your calendar. And then the following week, too, I think it's a short week that they had the Thursday night football game against the Commanders and Jaden Daniels, and that was a big revenge game, if you will, or two of the top quarterbacks in the NFC coming into from the previous season, and then you just take care of business. You eat lunch. You eat lunch and dinner, and you're like King Henry, essentially. That's the type of team that I thought you saw. Not King Derrick Henry, but you know what I mean. Going back to, for my historians to look at that. That's the type of feast that the Green Bay Packers had over the first 2 weeks. And then it just started to slide a little bit. We thought that they were looking good when they had that Thanksgiving Day win. But what does this culture look like? What has Matt LaFleur done to show that they need this closer? And we'll talk a little bit about roster makeup too, a little bit down the road, but I want to focus on the culture. What has Matt LaFleur instilled in this team? What kind of coach is Matt LaFleur going to be? Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike, which you could hear from 6 to noon or 5 to – sorry, not 6 to noon. That's a long show.
It's a very long show.
From 5 to 9 here on 100.5 ESPN Madison. Also catch him on ESPNU at ESPN2. He jumped on Jim, Matt, and Molly earlier this week and was pretty fired up in terms of what Matt LaFleur has done and whether or not answering Reggie from Texas's question, whether or not he knew or maybe he planted this. Here's what Evan Cohen had to say about why or why not he would play under Matt LaFleur.
But I feel like, as an outside observer of this team, they're not grimy, they're not nasty, they're not tough. They're not going to beat the crap out of you.
They're not going to beat the crap out of you. They're not grimy, they're not tough. That right off the bat.
Consistently, I think you hit the nail on the head. They can be grimy. They can be tough. They have some guys that are grimy and tough in moments. In small doses, you see it. But we haven't seen it consistently enough. We haven't seen the holistic approach. And that's one of the reasons that I don't think we've seen the ceiling yet for a Matt LaFleur-led team. And at this point, maybe it won't happen, but I think it's possible. I think it still can happen, and that it ultimately, it's going to come down to the players. It comes down to who you bring in. These are grown men we're talking about here. If they're not grimy and they're not tough, I'm putting most of the blame on them, not the head coach. Rashawn Gary. Whose fault is it? Why does Micah Parsons come in, who speaks glowingly of Matt LaFleur, the toughest of the bunch on the defensive side of the ball, who plays like his life depends on it, which he has said it does. What's the disconnect between him and Rashawn Gary? Why does Rashawn Gary play like he doesn't want to get hurt, like he doesn't want to break a fingernail?
Same thing with Keyshawn Nixon, too. It looked like he was making a business decision.
Keyshawn Nixon makes business decisions. Is that Matt LaFleur's fault?
And then he jumps over, then he jumps onto that pile.
Jumps onto the pile, yeah. That's the thing. Like, I feel like this is more on an individual basis. Josh Jacobs, I understand he wasn't as effective as he could be this year. Is he not tough? Is he not grimy?
If anything, he's probably the toughest out of this bunch, and he's been around the least.
Is Jordan Love not tough? Christian Watson coming back from an ACL surgery and having a phenomenal back half of the season? Is that not toughness? I'm sorry. I understand that I think they need to bring in more players who fit that mold. That's not, I don't know. I just don't think that's 100% Matt LaFleur's fault.
844-770-3776. The Carbless Talk and Text Line list is more. Again, we're addressing the Saturday Scramble poll question that we have here on the ESPN Madison Twitter page that you could go ahead and vote. 132 have jumped in. 67% of you, roughly, say that no, you do not believe the Green Bay Packers have a clear identity under Matt LaFleur. And Riley kind of feels the same way, too, of the toughness of this roster more so. It's not, is it a Matt LaFleur thing? Is it a roster construction thing? Is it just an overall culture? The word that I believe, just from what I've covered this team over the last few years, is stability. I truly believe that stability is the key to the Green Bay Packers. They want consistency. They want that stability. They don't want to... Because I'll be frank. I know what it is like when your franchise has this hanging thing over your head. It's like, all right, is this going to be the guy? Is it going to be Matt Eberflus? Is it going to be Justin Fields? Is it going to be Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy? Is it Mitch Trubisky? Is it Caleb Haney? Is it Kyle Orton? Is it Rex Grossman? All these things. I'm sure this is exactly what Wisconsin radio wants to hear. Yes. All these Bears names of the past.
Yes.
It's probably nice for you. Jim Harbaugh, I think, too. So he's in there. But it's the Green Bay Packers are the exact opposite of it. They are stability. They're all about stability. They're all about making sure that everything is set in stone and ready to go. That Mark Tauscher pointed this out yesterday when I got to sit in the studio just listening to Wildy and Tausch, is that I loved what he had said, getting from his perspective. The Green Bay Packers will do everything that they can outside of you do your job as a player. You do your job as a coach. Focus on playing. Focus on coaching. We'll take care of the rest. If you want to practice outdoors, which is what Mike McCarthy and co did, if you want to practice outdoors in the nighttime, we'll install the lights. Does not matter what the bill is going to be. If you want a better nutritionist, we'll bring in the best team. We'll make sure that you eat 24/7. We'll make sure that we do everything that we possibly can to make sure that you are taken care of as a player outside of what you need to do, and that's play football. So I think that's really interesting, and I've been reading a book, too, that's been one of my 2026 goals right now is start to read more. And the book that I'm reading is 11 Rings, which is the Phil Jackson coaching philosophy. Mm-hmm. And there's a quote that stuck out to me that I really feel like that, again, it makes me think of who Matt LaFleur is as a coach and what he's shown so far. But I want to take a quick breather on that one and let us you've had a couple good boxing bouts here. Round two has been pretty nice to you, Riley. So I'll give you a breather on that one. And I want to talk a little bit more about where I think Matt LaFleur is lacking specifically and how he can. Can he motivate the players? That's the big thing that I want to talk about in the book. This is the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Ryan and Fort saying, until pen is put to paper, a deal is not done. On the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 844-770-3776. List is more. We also got an anonymous number. Get this. First time tuning in from California.
Woo!
And I definitely thought you were a Bears fan.
I knew
what?
That was. Thank you for reacting to that. That was perfect. On the talk and text line. So is he or she, are they watching on YouTube then?
They're tuning in from California. That's all I know.
See, this is why it sucks losing bets, because then people are tuning in. They're new fans. They see for the first time, oh, he's wearing a Walter Payton jersey. Oh, he's just one of the 10 Bears fans that work at ESPN Madison. I hate you, Owen. The ratio of Bears fans to Packers fans at ESPN Madison is just gross.
I love
in
it.
In my opinion.
I love it so much.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of how many Bears fans we have here at the station.
I think it's sad. It makes me feel like I'm at home.
It builds. You got all your Bradley alums.
Yeah.
Out here we got
big
three
one
of those.
Today, too. Big one today for the Bradley Braves on ESPN2. It's rivalry weekend for us, right, Owen?
Yeah, big time. We got the border on I-74.
The war on I-74.
Yeah, Bradley and ISU. It's a big one.
Braves and the Redbirds. First round, first bouts, if you will, if we want to keep the boxing references in here. That is on ESPN2 in normal Illinois, where things are about to get weird for the Bradley Braves in the best way. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch, Owen Dipple behind the glass, our Bradley Brave alum, along with myself here. This is the Saturday Scramble at 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. We thank you for listening all across the country as we continue to react to the quote-unquote breaking news, is what I will call, is that things are moving forward.
Mm-hmm. The developments.
The breaking developments. They're in the soft launch stage, if you will. Which actually, I didn't even talk about this, too. I've loved that the, don't get me wrong, Packers and Bears in the playoffs and the Bears getting the opportunity to take down their heated rival. I feel like, too, we got to talk about this at some point, too. Is this affecting my dating life? That's a question that I want to put out there, too. There's a lot of diehard Packer fans out here. And for one, that lone Bears fan out here, man, it's tough. It's tough. That's all I got to say. But
sorry if I don't have much sympathy for you right now.
Yeah, I don't think you have a lot of sympathy for me, too. Come on, sweetness. What are you doing? You got to help me out here.
Maybe once the Bears are eliminated.
Thanks.
Yes. Thank you. I'll put that condition.
Okay, so I'll talk to you around Valentine's Day then. That'll be perfect. It'll be great. It'll be celebrating another Lombardi.
Nope. I'll be talking goes over to you Hallis Sunday Hall. Night. I'll be talking to you Sunday night. Go Rams. Puka Nacua.
Instead of a wingman, does that make it a windman?
Hey!
I was really waiting for the sound of the beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, no, that laugh track is just a laugh track.
All right, well,
that was a good one.
Let's talk about sports. Matt LaFleur and the culture, or lack thereof, if you will. Because I think, Riley, again, you made some interesting points where, is it the roster construction? It's also, too, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, too, because it's about who's leading you. It's about who's leading you into the bunch. And like I said, going into the break, one of my big goals, too, coming into 2026 is reading a lot more. I want to do some read some coaching books and all those, like just kind of building yourself up, like what a lot of philosophy. So I have Phil Jackson's book, 11 Rings, The Soul of Success. And I want to read something, too, real quick.
Yes, please.
Little excerpt. Let me get on my glasses here on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
We should have told Owen to get like the Reading Rainbow music pulled up. That would have been fantastic.
Reading Rainbow.
I've never heard that.
It's take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow.
I feel left out.
Have you seen Community? Have you watched that show?
I've heard of the show. I haven't seen it.
I really hope that we're gonna have new imaging for this show too, and I really hope that Reading Rainbow the harmonies is going to be in this.
I just marked it, so it might be
perfect. You. Reading Rainbow with Pablo Iglesias, please enlighten us.
Or Between the Lions, anybody big there? Between the Lions, that one was a big one. Yes. I feel like it's just going
cliffhanger, hanging from a cliff,
and that's why they call him Cliffhanger.
Yes.
We're doing justice here, too. For the kids listening, this is what you want for Saturday morning programming. We're helping. Readers are achievers. Make sure, kids, you read. That's what we're going to start book club for the boys, too, in 2026.
Thank you to viewers like you.
That's right. This one's for viewers like you. Make sure you tune in out of the Carbless Talk text line as well, 844-770-3776. We're talking about Matt LaFleur. My eyes are watering right now. That was amazing.
That was good.
But I want to read the excerpt from 11 Rings at... Phil Jackson, well-known head coach, the Chicago Bulls, Los Angeles Lakers, 11 rings, it speaks for itself. And the philosophy of putting players through harder practices, basically putting them through mental tests. Sometimes they would practice in the dark. Sometimes he would put clearly like one, whoa, can you hear that?
Yes, I can.
So
is that... That Siri?
That is. These are my glasses. They are smart glasses.
Those are smart glasses.
These are smart glasses.
They have cameras.
Yeah, they do have cameras. Wait, watch this. We are recording now too. If you can see on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel,
you can see the light blinking. That's insane.
I think we can also. I feel like we got to clip this at some point too. So, guys, don't text me real quick.
Yeah.
Well, I read this, the excerpt here. From the 11 Rings book, he was putting Luke Walton through a tough practice specifically during his time at the Lakers. And the quote here, after a frustrated practice, he brings Luke Walton over to the side and says, "I know you're thinking about becoming a coach someday, and I think it's a good idea. But coaching isn't all fun and games. Sometimes, no matter how nice of a guy you are, you have to be a blank."
Mm-hmm.
We'll fill in the blank there.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a coach if you need to be liked. And I think the unfortunate disposition that Matt LaFleur is in is a lot of players have supported him. Micah Parsons clearly going out of his way to say, the reason why I came to Green Bay was because of you, was because of Matt LaFleur. Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers did not have to talk about Matt LaFleur in his post-game press conference after the Steelers got thwomped.
In what is probably his final press conference ever as a player.
He did throw a touchdown on his final pass, though, right?
So that he did.
There was that. So technically.
Father time is undefeated, and it's really sad.
Oh, man. Look at the owner. Look at the owner of Chicago Bears. Huh? Anyway.
You will always own the Chicago Bears.
Okay. All right. Relax. Relax. Relax, sweetness. But that quote stuck out to me and made me think about, is Matt LaFleur that blank, so to sorts? Is he the guy, as Evan Cohen said very, very clearly, he's not. He's not the guy who has that type of in-your-face attitude and energy. And not everybody needs to be that in a way, but I think that's the transition that the league is making now. You look at Ben Johnson, and to be honest, I know that Ben Johnson's not everybody's cup of tea, and I get it that he's also part of the heated rivalry, too, in terms of this is who Ben Johnson is, like he's in your face. But I can clearly tell that the players in that Chicago Bears locker room are going to go to war for Ben Johnson. They are going to do everything, tooth and nail. They might not do it in the prettiest way. And wholeheartedly, you know what? The Green Bay Packers went into this. They were the favorite. They were the better team in the eyes of the odds makers going into Saturday in Chicago. But you want to know something? That's how sports is. The better team doesn't always win. The team that wants it more. The team that's grittier. The team that'll fight. And at halftime, too, I was listening to the Chicago Bears postgame show on my way back to Milwaukee, because you need something when it's like 3:30 in the morning after Green Bay game day, game night's over. It was a long drive back to Madison on Saturday night. Oh, and I know you were probably here late. Joe Tooney and Grady Jarrett, who were part of that 2016 Super Bowl team, talked about the being on both sides of that comeback in that game. So the way that he brought the team together, the way that he has invigorated, and even a little bit of that heated statement. So again, he's not the cup of tea for everybody, but he is tough, and he has clearly set the expectation of what the culture is going to be in Chicago. Is we're going to be tough, nasty, we're going to be in your face, we're going to be loud. You might not like us, but that's our brand of football. Mm-hmm. And the question is now for Matt LaFleur is, how do you now turn that? Because I love that the players support him. I love that the players are behind him. But it kind of feels like this twofold thing now is that everybody loves Matt LaFleur. He's a smart coach. He's a smart offensive line. But is he a closer? From a baseball standpoint, Riley, I know you and I, and even Dimps back here, we'll talk about that too on the nickname side. As baseball guys, I look at this is that they're lacking a closer. They have everything else in the rotation. They've got a great five-man. They've got good long relievers. They've got a good setup. But they are lacking that closer instinct. They're lacking that get gritty and just try to claw away. Because that's football, man. That's football. Mm-hmm. As much as you want to outsmart somebody, you got to get tough.
Yes, I agree. And I think Matt LaFleur is a nice guy. I think that players really like him. And I think players do want to go to war for Matt LaFleur. I think they do really respect him as a head coach, as an offensive mind. But this all goes back to me. The Packers need more players with the mentality, not necessarily the skill, but the mentality of Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons was in the press box or in a suite at Soldier Field. He wasn't on the field with the guys, unfortunately. You saw Micah Parsons tweet at halftime, "We got to close these dudes out, fellas. We know they're a second-half team. We know they're a fourth-quarter team. We know they have a penchant for comebacks. We need to step on the jugular. We need to close them out." And what did we see on the Packers sidelines heading into halftime? Lots of smiles. Everyone seemed really relaxed, in a really good mood, like, wow, this is a lot easier than we thought. Jordan Love especially, seeing him smiling was concerning. There was a reason every Packers fan and their mother had a bad feeling that the Packers were going to choke this game away.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's on Matt LaFleur to go up to these guys and be like, hey, Knock it off. Why are you smiling? This game is not over. You need play. He's worrying about coaching the game. He's worrying about clock management, which can he improve at that? Yes, he can. Yes. We mentioned, I think it was Ken in the YouTube chat, like offense, like they came out of a timeout and they had to delay a game. That's unacceptable. But Matt LaFleur, that's what he's focused on. He's focused on coaching a football game. You need players to go up to their teammates on the sideline and be like, knock that smile off your face, man. We got two more quarters to go. And I think Micah Parsons and Tucker Kraft as well, both guys who got hurt this season, who weren't on the sideline, who weren't there, are those guys for this Green Bay Packers team. They are the tough factors. They are your leaders who are going up to guys and saying, get your head in the game. Focus up. Like, we need to finish. So ultimately, I think that comes down to the players, and the Packers need more guys, more players with that killer instinct.
844-770-3776. The Carbo Stock and Text Line list is more Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch. We're trying to figure out exactly what is the missing link.
Oh, and
link.
It looks like you have something to say.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that it looked like they got comfortable. And
yes,
that would be my one word to describe the identity of the Packers under Matt LaFleur. They get comfortable. And when you get comfortable, you let things slip. Mm-hmm. You let a big 18-point lead slip. And look what happened. You're sent packing home and your season end.
It's a mix between comfort and complacency. I don't know if the Green Bay Packers, because I still stand by that stability remark that I made on this team, and overall from a franchise standpoint, is that stability still feels like the strong word that this organization has always lauded itself for. And honestly, what we've seen publicly, yeah, you know what? If it is the Bears Super Bowl to beat the Packers, I mean, I think it could be anybody's Super Bowl potentially. I think it's beyond the Chicago Bears. And because truly, it's the coach idiom, respect everyone, fear no one. And I mean, I think the Green Bay Packers, based off of how they built that success, I think you have to give them credit. You can't disrespect the amount of, if you're called Title Town for a reason, why not? And here on the Carbo Stock and Text Line, don't forget, too, to put your name and where you are texting from, as much as we love the anonymous numbers. Love to see this. So I will say, we got a 773 number, which is a Chicago area code, but you're going to like this one, Riley. LaFleur can control only what he can control. Getting a delay of game and coming out of the timeout was under his control.
Yes.
That was a fireable offense. I think the question, the tough thing right now is that I think we are looking at this under a microscope right now, and how the Chicago game, I feel like it was and wasn't truly what Matt LaFleur has been over time. I think we're over this last week, maybe we're thinking more of what has Matt LaFleur done for Packer fans and the Packers in general lately versus what has Matt LaFleur done just in general for the Green Bay Packers. You guys get what I mean? It's just it's just trying to figure that out. And, you know, has he made mistakes? Yes, but there was something, too, what you said about you got to get Jordan Love. And everybody blew up when you saw Caleb Williams just shouting at everybody, shouting at Luther Burden on that interception. I probably was an arm punt, honestly, which why did Carrington Valentine take that INT instead of just dropping it? I don't know. And that's sometimes with coaching. But you see Caleb Williams yelling at Luther Burden, do your job. And that's, I'm sure that's a Ben Johnson-led thing. And I know that those two talk a lot in terms of having the communication. You got to lead this team. You got to, don't be afraid to coach hard. But do that because you know that there's a love and a respect because you all want the same thing. And I'm not saying that the Packers don't, but it's just more about the communication thing. What can Jordan Love do? I don't see him being a scream-your-head-off type of guy.
He's not a rah-rah, yeah, in-your-face kind of dude. But
concern you as your QB1,
no,
the $56 million man? Genuinely. Like, I want to ask you.
No, it doesn't, because you saw the final drive.
Yeah.
So close to being a game-winning drive for Jordan Love, and that would have been such a legacy moment for him. I'm so frustrating. When he threw, he did all he could. He threw an absolute dart to Jaden Reed on the sideline, which you watch the All-22 footage. Jaden Reed catches that, turns upfield, might have been a tutter. And bare minimum, he catches it and steps out of bounds immediately inside the 20-yard line, red zone, 45 seconds to score a touchdown inside the 20. Love the Packers' chances.
Oh, it was pins and needles.
Even inside the 40-yard line, 35, whatever, Jordan Love throws a dime in between four Bears defenders. Christian Watson just didn't get both hands up in time, I understand it would have been a heck of a catch. It would have been a la Steve Young to Terrell Owens against the Packers in the playoffs, almost identical to a T. But going back to that Jaden Reed pass, Jordan Love, you could tell, was furious. Like, you don't see much emotion from him, and you could see him yell an expletive, clap his hands together after Reed dropped it because he knew that was a big one. So he does have it in him. And I think we don't see it much because he's so quiet, but I think he is a good leader on the sidelines. I think he is. But he definitely needed someone going into halftime. He got complacent. It looked like he was smiling. He was having a grand old time. Like, he needed someone there to, like, slap him in the face a little bit. But outside of that, I'm not concerned about Jordan Love. That game was not on him. I believe he could be an MVP caliber quarterback before he got concussed by the Bears. And who is the guy who concussed
him?
Austin Booker put his full weight on him and pile drove him into the ground again. He's dirty, but regardless,
that's not a Danny. If we're comparing Austin Booker to Danny Trevathan, I'm walking out of this.
I didn't compare him to Danny Trevathan.
Well, that's what you're alluding to at this point.
I'm just saying.
Well,
that's
Shiloh,
that's what happened.
Shiloh here on the YouTube chat is on your side. I agree with Riley. Tucker and Micah losses weren't just about talent; they were about attitude. So yes. I think again, it's. How, because it did feel like that the team almost checked out, or maybe from the fan base side, I think, honestly. I get it. When you lose Micah Parsons, a guy that you really invested in, and it falls short with a torn ACL, that's a gut-wrench. And call it for what it's worth. I truly felt like my heart sank a little bit, too. And even last season when Jordan Love, we thought that he was going to be done for the season in week one. Nobody wants to see that. Actually, I won't put on my glasses. I will. And I want us to clear out the 11 o'clock hour because we want to talk about Roster Foundation. Mm-hmm. But I'll finish this off with this before we get to
your
break.
Your meta Ray-Bans.
Yes.
That HD video footage.
3K. Why not?
He's like Tony Stark.
Exactly.
What can I say?
It's like,
yeah.
Jarvis, read this for me.
So I want to clear it out with this one, too, because, again, like I said, I want teams to be at their best. I want to compete. This one stood out to me, too, to end the chapter. The best athlete wants his opponents at his best. The best general enters the mind of his enemy. All of them embody the virtue of non-competition. Not that they don't love to compete, but they do it in the spirit of play. So, I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. You want everybody to be your best. You want everybody to be at your best. So somebody's coming at me saying it's like, oh, like I'm doing victory laps and Micah Parsons is down. No, that's not human, man. That's not what you want. You want your teams to be at your best. You want your opponents to be at your best because then that feels even better. Wins are wins at the end of the day. You're never going to apologize for that in the National Football League or any situation. No, but you know what? If the teams are at their best, that's when it just gets gritty. That's when it gets super fun. But hey, you know what? It is what it is. And we'll keep talking about where the toughness lacks as we round out the 10 o'clock hour, get into the 11 o'clock hour. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch. This is a Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
We are wrapping up the 10 o'clock hour here on the Saturday Scramble. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch, live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. This is the Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Clearing out the 10 o'clock hour again, reacting to the breaking, developing, soft launch news. We're just going to keep adding stuff in.
Yeah,
as we
keep adding adjectives, descriptors.
Soft launch. If you want to add on to it too, make sure you drop it in the YouTube comments on the Cardless Talk and text line 844-770-3776. List is more on that. What else we could call this breaking, developing, soft launch, insert your suggestion here. But we are jumping onto the Carbless Talk and text line. We got somebody from Texas. Is that it?
No, Ryan and Fort.
Oh, Ryan and Fort.
Fort Atkinson, not quite Texas.
I think this is Ryan and Fort who texted in saying, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, until pen is put to paper, a deal is not done.
Mm.
This could be Ryan and Fort, or we could be in for a surprise. Either way, Ryan and Fort, what's popping, man?
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I just have a question for you and Riley.
Let's do it.
Would it be acceptable for Bet LaFleur and Goody to go make the playoffs and be one and done in the playoffs?
No.
No.
No, not even close to acceptable. And thank you for the call and the question, Ryan. Really appreciate that. No, next year, especially if Tucker Kraft and Micah Parsons are healthy, more than likely they're going to have some injuries next year. As long as the stars are not completely devastated, if Jordan Love, Tucker Kraft, Micah Parsons, Christian Watson, all healthy, the Packers have absolutely zero excuse. Or if it's even if it's a game like this, even if maybe you knock out one or two of those again this year, the Packers have absolutely zero excuse with this roster. Now with Matt LaFleur getting an extension, you cannot go one and done this year. The Packers are in their peak championship window right now. The next 3 years, while Jordan Love is in his prime, Micah Parsons is in his prime, Christian Watson, like, they have pieces. They have the pieces. They have the superstars to win a Super Bowl. This is the time. You cannot go one and done next year, especially after how this season ended this year. And I'll go even as far as to say, you got to take back the North next year. It's been 4 years since the Packers have won the NFC North. That is ridiculous. That is shocking. That is appalling. The Packers need to win the NFC North next year. I don't really care if they get the one seed, but they need to advance to the divisional round at the least. And this is just the fan in me. Matt LaFleur's got to make the Super Bowl. He's got to start making the Super Bowl. Really? I understand. I'm not saying he's going to get fired if he doesn't make the Super Bowl, but you have
seven seed for three straight seasons.
Exactly. You need to be better than that. You have to be better than that. I think Matt LaFleur is the right guy for the job, but changes need to be made. They need to be tougher. You need to bring in tougher players, instill that attitude into the team, and you have to win playoff games. That is where we're at as a franchise now. It's title town. It's not seven seed town. We got to move on. We got to move past that. And I believe these next 3 years are the years for the Packers to get that done.
Appreciate you calling, Ryan, from Fort. To wrap it up real quick, because we got to get to the 11 o'clock hour, the Green Bay Packers, I need to see what they were. Either way, it still felt like they were a top five team at least to win the Super Bowl, especially when you get Micah Parsons. And now to go over to Evan Cohen, unsportsmanlike host, which you can hear from, we'll get this right, 5-9 on 100.5 ESPN on weekdays. He has the Green Bay Packers on his top five hot mess list. The fact that the Packers, and I agree based off of how this season went, you don't want to be on that list. You're with the Steelers, the Falcons, the Eagles, and the Vikings in the top five hot mess list. You go from one of the possible Super Bowl favorites with one of the most dangerous defensive ends, if not the most, and that's how your season ends. And I get it. Injuries, barring all that, it's unfortunate. You want your team to be at your best, but yeah, you do. It's beyond. I love that. That's a banger. This isn't seven seed town. This is
title town. Come on, and I will say this as examples to maybe bolster my point as why even they don't make the Super Bowl.
See, now you're just showing off.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying for fans. Like, why
you finished the marathon already? Why are you running past the finish line? You got your 26.2 in.
I'm still going. I'm just saying, look at Sean McDermott for the Buffalo
Bills.
You don't
get an extra medal.
This is why I think it's ridiculous that fans wanted LaFleur fired and why I'm happy he's coming back and has an opportunity to take the Packers to the promised land. Look at Sean McDermott. He's the only coach with over five playoff wins that hasn't made the Super Bowl, who doesn't have a Super Bowl championship, who doesn't have a Lombardi trophy, and he hasn't even made the Super Bowl. Are Buffalo Bills fans, admittedly I'm not in tune with Buffalo Bills fans, but are they calling for Sean McDermott's head after this year? Why? Because they're in their prime window with Josh Allen, and he is a guy that could win a Super Bowl. I think Jordan Love is in that same category. It took Andy Reid 21 years as a head coach to win a Super Bowl, and we're going to give up on Matt LaFleur after seven? Come on!
So he just has to go to a different team and win a Super Bowl then?
No, that's not
what I said. That's what we're saying
here,
right?
That's not what I said.
That's what we're saying.
What if I told you guys that in the last 10 years of the NFL...
This is 30 for 30 now? What if I told you?
Right? Could be.
Yeah, could be.
Over the last 10 years in the NFL, out of all active NFL head coaches, there are only three that have won a Super Bowl.
And that would be Nick Sirianni, Andy Reid.
Correct.
And Sean McVay.
Yeah, McVay.
Sean McVay.
Yep. I mean, John Harbaugh will be added back to that list once he's hired again, but...
I thought you were talking about Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers.
Yeah, no.
Well, as long as Justin Herbert can play safety, return kicks, also read the blitz too, and everything that he could do.
He's the if guy.
Yeah, he's the reason why the Chargers are being held back.
Yeah, Justin Herbert. Like, why is he a media darling? Why do people love Justin Herbert so much?
He was here in Madison, and he was awesome.
Yeah, he's a good golfer. He's a nice guy. So it's is Jordan Love.
Well,
exactly.
That's why he's the media darling.
It's because he's handsome. It's ridiculous. It's pretty privileged for Justin Herbert. Why he isn't more hated is absurd to me. Jordan Love puts up 4 touchdowns, 300 yards, and people are like, did Jordan Love do enough? Oh, Jordan Love, is he really the best leader for this football team? And Justin Herbert, oh, I'm going to throw 100 yards and with 0 touchdowns.
I don't think he sounds like that.
I'm Justin Herbert. I have long, flowing locks. I'm a good golfer.
Pablo, do you remember the voice from the Minnesota post game?
Was it that?
Yeah, that was his voice.
Hey, we're not out here making fun of voices now. Come on, man.
I don't know what Justin Herbert sounds like. I'm sure he's a fantastic fella. But he's not nearly as good as a quarterback.
Who's he dating as we get into pop culture talk here real quick? We got to get into the 11 o'clock hour.
It's some influencer, celebrity,
actress, Are you jealous because of that? It's Madison Beer.
No.
He's been seen with Madison Beer, man.
I'm not jealous of Madison Beer. I have a lovely girlfriend who is fantastic.
I'm just saying. No, that's right. I don't want to put you in the doghouse. My bad, man. I can't do that to you.
I'm telling the truth. The celebrity type's not for me.
You gotta love it. Riley trying to get some brownie points here too.
I think Owen's got a story about his type coming up.
That we do coming up here. The 11 o'clock hour. We're just going off the rails at this point. We'll get back to Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst, and Green Bay Packer talk at some point. But we'll reset for the 11 o'clock hour. Owen's gonna be talking about something else coming up to start off of what our ins and outs of 2026 are. This is really interesting what he's got coming up for us. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch, Owen Diffel behind the glass. This is the Saturday Scramble at 100.5 ESPN.
It's time to think outside the pocket on Saturday Scramble.
I think the Bucks signed their souls away or something.
I look at the Bucks as Augustus Gloop.
Probably really smart, actually, because I write such long.
Yes! Clip that, Riley. Jason said that I'm smart.
I go to the gym to fight people.
That's awesome.
On 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
What's poppin', Saturday Scramblers? Pablo Iglesias here with Riley Yauch. What was that on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel? I don't think I saw your eyes. Your literally just popped out of the head. As Riley Yauch here, too, if you're not watching on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, I will paint the picture, the dazzling details, wearing a phenomenal blue and orange jersey of the Sweetness Walter Payton. All because, you know what? He's a man of his word, and I respect that.
Thank you, Riley.
I
appreciate that. I don't appreciate having to wear this jersey. These colors suck. However, at least it's not a Caleb Williams jersey. Would much rather wear a Walter Payton jersey having lost a bet. But just clarifying again, for anyone joining the 11 o'clock hour, I'm not a Bears fan. I don't like the Bears.
Thank you to all of our new fans joining us here on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Wisconsin app. Make sure you tune in onto the Carpus Talk and text line as well. Let us know what's going on as Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. It looks like extensions are on the way for the Packers, 844-770-3776. But to reset the 11 o'clock hour, boys, I know we're a little late in this one, but I got to ask you, we all care about our mental, physical well-being, right? Mm-hmm. We all want to make sure that we are prime and ready to go, especially, you know, we want to feel good, right? Well, we know... You want to know what's in for 2026?
Enlighten me.
Apparently, I've been seeing this on TikTok, on social media. Making out, apparently, is back in.
Okay.
Making out at bars and all that, whatever the case is.
Has that not been in? I understand I'm young. If maybe some of our slightly older audience members could chime in on the Carbless Talking text line or the YouTube chat, has... kissing people ever not been in?
Oh, well, it's like apparently there's a call for like kissing and everything, and there's some there's some uh There's some good health benefits to it. We're just talking about kissing here, all right?
We're talking about, so wait, so this is a health thing?
Yeah, it's a health thing. It's feel good. It's like, it helps you feel good. But Owen Dimple, who is our producer, joined us here on the Saturday Scramble. He's got a unique story when he told me about this, and I really wanted us to talk about this in show prep at first, but Ashton Rotman, our content manager, said, no, do not tell this. I want Owen to tell you the story. Owen.
I'm very excited for
the floor is yours, my friend.
So let's go back to Thursday.
Huh?
I was coming into work.
Mm-hmm. Wait, this Thursday?
Thursday. This happened
just
on
a couple
Thursday.
Days ago.
Oh, what?
This happened on Thursday.
All right.
Coming into work, I'm over on the John Nolan Drive part of town, and of course, you know, high traffic volume any time of day over there, but especially now with all the construction.
With one lane, brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, so you get to a red light, you're there for a while, especially when you got a lot of cars there.
Mm-hmm. Beep, beep.
And for me, when I sit at a red light, I just like to look around. What's going on in my environment around me?
It's smart. That's savvy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make sure you keep your eyes on the road, too.
Yeah. I take a look in the rearview mirror, and I can see into the car behind me. There's this couple in the middle of just, like, eating each other's faces, what it looked like. And I was like, okay, good for them.
It's a pleasant image heading to work.
Yeah, yeah. Light turns.
Well, nice little smooch is fine. Yeah, it's like, yeah. All out, huh?
All out.
All out.
Light turns green. We proceed to move forward. Red light again.
Oh.
And so
I didn't know. Wait, there was a second part to this?
There was sort of. I mean, they just resumed where they left off at from the last red light. And at that time, I felt like I was just interrupting something at that point. So I was just like, this light just needs to turn green. I need to get to work.
That's just so odd. Like, you're still in the public sphere, man. Like, it's the middle of the work day.
1 o'clock.
It's like, this is single lane traffic too, right? So, or did they have people next to them?
There was
why
two.
Does that matter?
There was the left.
Why is that the big thing?
I'm just
saying.
No, I'm just
if
saying.
If it's a two lane road, or if it's here on
if it's a two lane road,
if
you
it's
have
here
people
in East Washington,
right next to you, like less than 5 feet away, just like, oh, hello, like that. That's just there. There's a line for PDA. There's a line. And that is way crossing the line.
Well, the question that Owen wanted to ask too,
I don't care
is,
that you're in your own car.
That was the question, is this, if you're in your car, is that considered PDA?
Yes.
And I said 100% yes. It doesn't matter if you're in your car. It's like people can still see, or even if you had tinted windows, you could kind of, I hope people aren't just staring into a car when they see moving things in tinted windows.
Well, this was a fishbowl.
That's unsafe.
This was a fishbowl. Well, I'm glad they got their car washed, too. Usually at this time of year, people let
their
cars
go dirty. Have you guys seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
I have not, actually.
Starring Steve Martin and
John
Candy.
Candy?
Oh, my gosh. Fantastic.
Classic film.
Best Thanksgiving movie out there. You need to watch it. But there's this scene where they're on a bus. They're taking a bus to try and get home to Chicago for Thanksgiving dinner. Funny enough, connection to Chicago, terrible city. But
how dare you?
They're on the Greyhound.
That's a beautiful city.
And
can't wait to see
you guys.
Just
like you, Owen, Steve Martin's character, Neil Page, is just looking around. And then to his left, 1 feet away, there's a young couple just macking on each other. And he gets caught staring. they look up at him and they're like, eh, take a picture. Maybe it'll last longer. Half expecting that to happen to you.
I love
that. But, like,
that line.
Why? I just don't understand it.
Well, I will tell you, boys, like I said, I did some research on this too. I'm going to give you 15 benefits. Can we queue up the power rankings music here? Do we have that?
Let me find it.
Yeah,
I should
let
be
me
able
see.
To.
We'll kill some time here, but as Owen gets this ready.
Are we seriously doing 15
benefits? We are
100% benefits?
Doing this.
We could be talking about Matt LaFleur, the roster construction, how much blame
we'll do this
falls
quickly.
On Brian Gutekunst.
We will do this quickly.
And we're like, no. What?
There it is. All right. We'll get through this quickly to reset the 11 o'clock hour. The 15 benefits. On why
read
the smooch.
You have to, if you're going to do this, you got to do Chris Berman
benefits
voice.
Benefits your health. Number one, it boosts the happy hormones. Number two, which helps your bond with the other person. You want to make sure that you're in sync, that Whoop. You're operating on all cylinders. Whoop! Number three, it improves the self-esteem. It's a game in between the eyes, too. It's a mental, physical grind. You gotta make sure that your head is in the right space. Number four,
lucid.
It allows that stress. Nobody wants to be stressed and down about when it comes down to fighting in the trenches.
Like the Packers were last Saturday night against the Chicago Bears in the second half.
Number five, it reduces anxiety. Nobody wants those intrusive thoughts coming in. You want to stay locked and loaded when you're down fourth and goal at the one and you go, whoop, whoop.
Chewing on the fingernails.
Touchdown. Number six, it reduces your blood pressure. We all know how that one goes, so we want to make sure that that's good.
Nice.
Number seven, it also relieves cramps.
What?
Nobody wants to. I'm not going to read the whole details here. We got to get through this. We got to talk about the Packers.
And rapid
get to
riled fire. Up.
Number eight, soothes headaches. Number nine, can boost the immune system. Number 10, tied to improvements in total cholesterol. I need to worry about those things too because I'm a 30-year-old man now and I want to make sure that my health is intact. Number 11, this one's crazy. It might prevent cavities.
What?
How about that?
How does another person's saliva prevent cavities?
Drill right into the hole, or drill into the teeth. Oh, excuse me.
Pause?
All right. Hey,
yo!
Relax. Number 12, moves it's along. A solid barometer for a compatibility for you and your partner. There we go.
Nice.
And a boost in your drive. Not just the car drive, but let's see.
Like the Packers' attempted game-winning drive in Chicago, the Windy City.
Number 14, the more you kiss, the more it helps the facial muscles. So
make sure.
Yeah, so there we go. Jawline. That's what we want. We want a good jawline.
Yes.
Owen's mewing back there, too, in the Everlight Solar Studio. And number 15, you get a workout, you sweat, you burn some calories, baby. We all know. Now, hey, we had some donuts here this morning,
yeah,
so
you
burn off those calories. So what nonsense we're getting into here on the Saturday Scramble on a day where it's Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst are most likely getting extensions. Don't worry. We will get to that. We will take a breather on the goofiness of what we have been doing here. Thank you for joining us. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Houck. Those are the 15 reasons why kissing matters.
I guess so. I respect it.
And now you know.
Yeah. The more you know.
Pablo Iglesias, Riley Houck, Owen Dimple behind the glass. This is Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN Madison.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
All right, we're done talking about smooch talk. Here on the Saturday Scramble, Pablo Iglesias, Riley Houck. If you joined us to start out the 11 o'clock hour, what a start, but a bigger start to the day. The Green Bay Packers seem like that they are extending Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Houck here on the Saturday Scramble, 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Make sure, too, you keep chiming in, on the Carbless Talk and text line, 844-770-3776. List is more. We also put out the poll question, which you can still vote on our ESPN Madison Twitter page. Under Matt LaFleur, do the Green Bay Packers have a clear identity? 66.9, don't say it, Riley, because technically it's not that number, but it's close. Right now fans are saying no. Fans are saying no, close to 67% saying that, you know, the Green Bay Packers do not have a clear identity. And yeah, we talked a little bit about in the first hour that is it a Matt LaFleur thing? Does he need to rally guys more? But also, is it Jordan Love? Is it the guys that wear the C on their chest? Because off the top of my head, obviously Jordan Love's a captain.
Jordan Love, Micah Parsons.
Yeah, I think that's a tough one.
Kraft was a captain.
Tucker Kraft. So you lost two of your captains due to unfortunate season-ending injuries.
Yeah, I'll have to look this
up
real quick.
So either way, whether you're a captain or not, and you wear the C on the chest.
Okay, so it was Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft. Micah wasn't a captain. Rashawn Gary.
Yeah, interesting.
Quay Walker. Xavier McKinney, makes sense, and Isaiah McDuffie.
Quay Walker really interests me on the elected season captain. And granted, this was like 2022. I go back to his rookie season and the mistake that he made. I wouldn't say that it cost them the game necessarily against the Detroit Lions in Week 18, but it definitely hurt them. And I feel like that's just where the team always struggles, if you will. There's always those couple moments where it might not be the biggest play, but the mistakes. You think of your Keyshawn Nixon missing out on a couple of, you know, making the business decision, but also in the playoff game. Why are you jumping on that pile? Why are you doing that?
For no reason.
You look
like,
at,
oh my gosh.
Quay Walker
so frustrating.
Getting ejected against the Detroit Lions in a must-win game in Aaron Rodgers' final season as a Green Bay Packer at Lambeau Field. You win and you're in. You were playing against the Detroit Lions team to go back. I was at Lambeau Field for that one, too. That was a big game.
Yes, I do think, and that was a big mistake. I think he's learned from that.
I believe so.
And I think Quay Walker has matured. I thought he played a solid game against the Bears in the wild card game. He's not, I don't think he's as good as we'd like him to be or need him to be. But he's definitely matured. I think that is unquestioned.
I think I'm sure he has, and I don't want to make it look like that. I'm just saying that the mistake that he made in that Lions game is forever hanging over the head. Unfortunately, it was one of the things that put a nail in a coffin in that specific season. And I feel like season after season, unfortunately, we've seen different mistakes that have ended up costing the Green Bay Packers something down the road, unfortunately. So where is this team in terms of staying tough? Where is this team in terms of handling success? How can this team handle success? You know, they are right in front. Like I said, we really thought that they could go win the Lombardi Trophy. We were already talking about Santa Clara 2 weeks into the season. And then maybe they got in over their heads. Maybe they just felt too good and loved the success that they had. But don't take my word for it necessarily. I loved what Jason Wilde had to say earlier in the week about where he feels like this team is at, especially with Rashawn Gary, who wanted that big money, got kind of some big money, but you know what? He really hasn't. He's a prime example as to why right now this team is lacking in certain spots.
Did you see the type of leadership that you would say, okay, that's a guy that when things go to hell, not a high snap count guy, is going to make sure that we're going to be okay? Like, think about your teams. Think about the kind of offensive linemen you had. Think about the types of guy you were. And again, I'm not, and I say this, as you well know, with the greatest amount of respect for your career. But you've said yourself your body was breaking down toward the end. That didn't mean that you didn't have value on the 2009 and the 2010 team before your injuries. I'm not saying we need a bunch of 11th year veterans. But I do think that there is an immaturity to how this team handles themselves.
Yes, yeah. I could not agree more. Jason is making the exact point I was making earlier. They don't have foxhole guys. Guys that when you're in the trenches, when you're in a difficult spot, I trust that this guy has my back and he will be there with me through the most difficult times. Maybe as people, sure, but not on the football field. They don't have too many of those dudes. And that, I think, for as much as people want to dunk on LaFleur for this team not being tough, you know what comes with maturity typically? It's age. It's wisdom, maturity, that all comes with age and experience. If you are going to predicate your entire roster on youth, they are going to make young people mistakes. They're going to make mistakes that inexperienced football players, inexperienced professionals will make. And I think that falls more on Brian Gutekunst and how this roster is constructed and how this team's makeup is. I don't put that entirely on Matt LaFleur. And I think moving forward, you, like Jason said, you don't need all 11-year veterans. Not everyone needs to be a grizzled old-timer with a salt-and-pepper beard and a beer gut. But maybe two of those guys, one or two, bring in even like a Cam Hayward, like the Steelers have, a 36-year-old defensive lineman who still putting his ass on the line, getting after the quarterback when it looks like he can barely move. Like, think of how impressive or how impactful that would be for the Green Bay Packers. Because you can tell a Cam Hayward puts in the same amount of effort that a Micah Parsons does. He just doesn't have the physical tools anymore. I think those kind of players would be so, so impactful on this Packers roster to bring up the young guys, hold them accountable, and give them people to look up to and who can hold the standard for what this team's attitude should be. And I don't think they have many.
And I feel like from the roster construction standpoint, I did not know that story, and I should have known this going into the season. Everybody looks at the tape of the 2016 Super Bowl, I'm sure, in some way, shape, or form of the comeback that the New England Patriots had. To know that that was a reference point for the Chicago Bears, that's why you bring in those veterans. They might not be performing at the level that they were at when they were in that Super Bowl, because granted, it was
just
over 10 years
like.
Ago. They know
They've
exactly.
Been there.
And that those were the words that Ben Johnson had said, was he had them tell the stories again. He had them talk about what did they feel like at halftime and what it was like when you're coasting as the Atlanta Falcons, if you will, thinking that it's all, you know, you got this one in the bag, just play a good second half and the rest will do it. And then Joe Tooney with the Patriots and Tom Brady, how they ended up mounting that comeback. And then what Ben Johnson had said, that's the other side of this too, where you got to get a coach that could truly get everybody on the same page and believe and know that they can also be headhunters. That's a tough balance. And every team can hope that they have those two things. But what Ben Johnson had said, this could be the greatest win that Soldier Field will ever see.
I hope it is.
They believed that.
I hope that is the greatest win Soldier
Field
ever
sees. No. Let's not do that.
A wild card contest against the Packers.
Let's not do that now. Well, you're back at home, and hopefully you can enjoy watching the playoff games in this nice snowy snow globe weather.
So. I will. I'm going to thoroughly enjoy my hate watch.
I was going to say, are you hate watching this game?
Oh, 100%. I am 100% hate watching the Bears tomorrow. It's going to rock. When Matthew Stafford, the former Detroit Lion, and the former Green Bay Packer, Devontae Adams, head into Soldier Field and bang, 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 whoop! slap around the Bears. Even though I don't think it's going to be a domination. I think it's going to be a close
Stafford
game.
Matt Stafford is 1-9 in cold games.
Oh, well. I think streaks are meant to be broken.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be a close game, but I think the Rams will get it done. But going back one more thing, J.J. McQuaid in the YouTube chat, team lacks discipline. He says that's because Matt LaFleur gets too cozy with players and staff.
Yes.
I would disagree. I think those relationships help when it comes to discipline, because who are you going to respect more? Someone that you're friends with or someone that you don't know that well? I think that friendship, those relationships help when it comes to discipline. Then you need a tough guy, a tough player, a peer to keep you in line.
But that's so I love that you brought that up. 844-770-3776, the Carbless Talk and Text Line. This is more. We're coming close up to noon here, but we are still going to continue some Packers talk. We got Riled Up coming up, and a special little announcement or a statement to end the show as well from Bears fan Riley Yauch here, who's rocking the Walter Payton jersey here at the Everlight Solar Studio on Saturday Scramble. But I like that you brought that up, because Jason Wilde also did bring up something on Wilde and Taus, which you could hear weekdays from 9 to noon here on 100.5 ESPN Madison, is that you need to bring some fresh ideas in, too. As much as you loved the big move with Rich Bisaccia, that was huge. And unfortunately, I would be shocked if he came back.
If he's
but also,
back, oh, my God.
Think about this. What is Nathaniel Hackett going to do? And I want to challenge you on that one. As it felt like it was a good-ish move to have him on the defensive side. But as much as you want to bring your buddies back and be like, all right, well, hey, this will be the right move, and I respect that. You want to help put you want to help your friends put some food on the table too, and I know it's more than just a move for that. But what is, if it didn't work out for Nathaniel Hackett at a couple spots, what makes you think it's going to be like the move here if you bring him back and have him in a different position? I respect the creativity, but maybe you just truly need a fresh face. Ben Johnson bringing in Dennis Allen, the former Saints coach, as his defensive coordinator. I don't know how close of friends they are, but it could have been the good cop, bad cop. If Ben Johnson is the good cop compared to the bad cop at Dennis Allen, I do not want to be in those practices. Although the defense, I will say, has its issues beyond belief. But
so,
it's more of what I'm saying here is that LaFleur can – why if you're bringing in your friends, if you're Ed Policy and you're Brian Gutekunst, you probably have to have more of a say now. Yes, this is your coaching staff, but also you gotta figure something out too, because bringing your friends in and bringing in your peers, it helps to an extent, but sometimes you do need that true, fresh idea from somebody.
Well,
that's,
you could look at it from both sides. You need people that you trust on your staff. Luke Fickell here at Wisconsin, he went out of his circle to hire his offensive coordinator, Phil Longo, when he came, and that was a massive, massive mistake. And clearly they butted heads. They didn't see eye to eye on their vision. So while you can't be all buddy-buddy with everyone, you need people that you can trust in that room. And that's why I think I can't really speak on Nathaniel Hackett. However, Robert Saleh, if he doesn't get a head coaching position, I understand he's the DC, it'd be a more of a lateral move.
It would be,
if Jeff Hafley is hired away and he doesn't get hired as a head coach, he's friends with Matt LaFleur. I would love Robert Saleh as the defensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers if Jeff Hafley moves on. And they're friends. I think he could be that tough disciplinarian-type coach. I'm sure him and Micah Parsons would get along very well. Maybe he could coach up Rashawn Gary. I think they need to move on from Rashawn Gary. But I think he could bring in, he'd have a good say in guys who would fit a more, a tougher, more intense scheme, an intense attitude for the defense. And I wouldn't have any issue with Matt LaFleur bringing in Robert Saleh, who's his friend.
Two words, upset or invigorated, thrilled or invigorated. If the Green Bay Packers ran this back with their coaching staff, full team, would you either be thrilled or invigorated?
I wouldn't be thrilled. You can only
choose one of the two.
So I guess invigorated. Yep. Why? But I feel like invigorated, it's like you're galvanized. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know if I'd feel invigorated either. I'd be frustrated for sure if they brought back the entirety of the same staff. See, I saw – so bear with me here. This might be a little bit off the wall, but – this was from Kurt Benkert, former Packers quarterback turned influencer on social media.
Great YouTuber.
Yes. He threw out the idea.
I think we have one of his footballs in our room, too.
Clearly, the Packers, Matt LaFleur, he needs some new voices. There need to be some fresh ideas. There needs to be an injection of something into this squad for next year, especially now that Goody and LaFleur are going to be extended and retained. So he threw out the idea, and I like this. Hire Mike McDaniels, former Dolphins head coach, as the OC. Goodbye, Stenovich. Love what you've done, but Matt LaFleur has been the play caller anyways. Bring in McDaniels. Then you have him call the plays. Him and Matt LaFleur come from that same Shanahan tree. I'm sure LaFleur would trust him to call his offense. They could game plan together. He could essentially call what LaFleur would call. And then LaFleur, while calling the plays is really his bread and butter, his skill set, then he can focus more on the X's and O's, the game management situations. He can focus more on, okay, when do I need to call a timeout? Let's look at the clock. Is this play worth a challenge? Maybe take a step back, not get as emotional about it as he had in the past. Bring in Mike McDaniel from Miami as the OC and have LaFleur focus on game management. I like that. Personally, that's another friend of LaFleur. He certainly wouldn't be anyone to bring in sort of toughness. You know, he can't really handle the cold that well, but he could get used to it here in the frozen tundra. And I just thought that was a very intriguing idea, and I like the sound of it.
From Miami Mike to Green Bay Grit, maybe, just maybe. I like that. I like that. I mean, I feel like it is a move that if you're under the same tree, you think you have the same type of brain waves, that could... I feel like, if anything, in a perfect world, that could elevate Jordan Love. I think we are close to seeing what his ceiling is, but I don't think he's definitely top 10, top 5 quarterback when he's on. He's got to have the receivers catch the ball. But if you have Mike McDaniel leading the charge, maybe not your quarterback's coach, but still somebody who is an offensive mind in that room, that picks up the offense so much. That sends him through the roof.
But do you guys think LaFleur would be willing to give up the play calling?
That's the big question. I'm not sure that he would, but that's why McDaniel intrigues me. I think he would be one of the few guys that he'd consider giving up play calling to, because he's his friend. He trusts him, and that's why I'm not totally opposed to Matt LaFleur bringing in his guys as long as they're not named Rich Bisaccia. That's all I care about moving forward. I don't care if I could. I'm fine with this entire staff remaining identical as long as Rich Bisaccia is not within 1,000 square miles of the city of Green Bay. As long as he is gone, he is banished to Canada.
CFL, huh?
Yes. Send him away. Canada might not even be far enough. Send him to the European American football leagues. Get him out of here.
Don't be dissing Euro football like that.
Have him coach special teams of the Japanese flag football team that's going to be competing in the Olympics this year. Get rid of him. He can focus on that. I want him gone. I want him as far away from the green and gold as humanly possible. Everyone else can come back. He needs to go.
This sets us up perfectly. We'll give him a minute to take a breather, but it is time now to continue this momentum after this to get riled up. But we got something totally off the wall here. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Young, Owen Dipple behind the glass for the Saturday Scramble, 100.5 ESPN. It's time to get riled up after this one, baby. Make sure you stick around for this.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
We're rolling along here on the Saturday Scramble. Pablo Iglesias, Riley out, joined at the Everlight Solar Studio live at ESPN Madison, downtown ESPN Madison, the snow globe that's happening outside. 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Riley and I are now twinning if you are listening to us over the radio, wearing a proud, proud blue and orange t-shirt.
I can't wait Riley to take this off and never wear anything like this ever again.
Never wear anything. What's happening here? I'm trying to get us back onto the tracks, and now what you doing? Don't be throwing my sweetness jersey out like that. But
I'm giving it back to you immediately.
Well, hey, we will make sure. What am I doing? Try to put water onto this fire. I'm going to throw gasoline into this because now, folks, it is time for Mr. Riley Yauch to get riled up here on the Saturday Scramble.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Man, this rocks!
Yeah, it's time to get riled up, folks! And today, last week, you heard me talking about how SEC dominance is over. This week, we're switching gears to baseball. All my fellow baseball fans out there, I'm sure if you've been paying a modicum of attention, you saw that.
Is that
Dodgers,
another word on your app?
No, that one I just knew. That was okay. straight from the dome, modicum. A tiny bit of attention. Kyle Tucker and the Dodgers have agreed to a 4-year, $240 million deal. Is anyone surprised? The Dodgers, with a massive overpay of a star player just because they can. The Dodgers are ruining baseball, and I hate them. Oh, and now look at Pablo's got his Shohei jersey on or whatever. The Dodgers, it's ridiculous. They have more money to spend than every other franchise in baseball. That is absurd. Part of it because they have a sweetheart TV deal, the largest by far out of any market in Major League Baseball, because of a lawsuit that happened that the MLB just gives the Dodgers and their pentaverate of billionaire owners special privileges to make an obscene amount of money. Then you have Shohei Ohtani, his sponsorship. You have the whole country of Japan just feeding the Dodgers hype train money.
I'd say the content of Asia. Content. The continent.
Exactly.
Like, all of Asia.
They have
Let's go, baby. All
of this in their favor. Do they actually, to their credit, they're not pocketing it. They're spending the money. I'll give the Dodgers that. But we need a salary cap and a salary floor for baseball. The Dodgers are the bane of my existence. Who's going to watch baseball? Rob Manfred is worried about, should we have an in-season tournament for Major League Baseball?
Yeah, that's
preposterous. Oh, maybe that's why viewership is suffering. No, it's because there's maybe 5 franchises that think going into any given year, this could be a year that my team wins the World Series. This could be the year. As a Brewers fan, this is the closest thing to a dynasty I am ever going to see for the Milwaukee Brewers in this current iteration of Major League Baseball. Just making the playoffs. And the Brewers have geniuses at the helm. They are wringing every ounce of potential out of their team, out of this squad. Like, the Brewers, that's the closest they're going to get when the Dodgers can just spend unlimited money all the time. And people are like, oh, but the players need to get paid. We can't have a salary cap. The MLB players, you know, no, that's bad. It's bad. Oh, sorry, I don't feel bad that instead of making $40 million a year, you're going to make $25 million a year. Sorry, I don't care. I could not care less that you're losing $10 million on your salary, on your tens of million dollars already. I don't care if it's pro-owner. You're being anti-fan, players union. It's ridiculous. I hate the Dodgers. Not as much as Minnesota. I was going to use the same line. I hate everything they stand really... for. I despise them with a fiery passion. It's unfair. It's stupid. The Brewers deserve to win a World Series, and it's an uphill battle every year. It's an uphill battle. Eventually, they're going to get over the hump. I just don't know if it'll be in my lifetime.
You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
That's where I live, but I have to respond on this one, is that it's just because you spend money. They talked about this on Sportsman, like 5 to 9 on weekdays here, which I got it, guys, on Sportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle. Chris Canty brought up an interesting point, though, is that just because you're spending money, that does not automatically make you the best team. It puts you on the highest in terms of payroll, and I understand, too. As I rep this jersey, got to give some background on this, too. I was a 2016 Dodger intern. So, also, shout-out to Bradley University, which is where Charlie Steiner, long voice of ESPN SportsCenter, and now part of the Los Angeles Dodgers. So that's why I was repping this jersey. I would love to have a Shohei at some point. This goes all the way back to 2016. It's been a while since I put this on,
wow,
too. So it's been a minute.
Is it a blank jersey?
It's a blank jersey.
Oh, this it's was just like a blank when, Dodgers jersey.
Yeah, it was
okay.
Like when I was part of the marketing promotions team, too.
Oh, okay. They just,
so that this was...
Okay,
this
that
was,
makes sense.
This was my garb
that's
for...
That's valid. If you work for the team, that's fair.
That's why, I'm not going to lie, there's a little bit of a soft spot there. But all in all, I look at this where it's, you can't spend, or even if you spend a boatload on your team, that doesn't automatically guarantee that you're a champion. And I give you that.
I'll give the Dodgers credit. They have a lot of smart people in the front office. Dave Roberts is a fantastic manager. But when you look, my jiu-jitsu professor, Christian, he's also a huge baseball fan. He's a Cubs fan, but you know, he's also a Packers fan. Like, everyone has their shortcomings, and him being a Cubs fan, that's one of his shortcomings. Fantastic coach, fantastic man. He just happens to root for the Cubs. But he was showing me the Dodgers lineup, and until you get to Andy Pájez,
who was also a trade candidate,
exactly,
too.
In the nine,
he was a hot name.
He's the nine-hole hitter for the Dodgers. He'd probably be a five- or six-hole hitter for most other squads. It's just killers up and down the lineup. I understand you have to spend the money correctly, but when you have the money to just outspend everyone and no one can compete, if you're Kyle Tucker, like, for the way Kyle Tucker ended the season last year, he was garbage. He was booty cheeks in the playoffs. Brewers pitching staff made him look silly. He had a bad second half of the season. But the Dodgers are like, no, there's enough potential there. He had a fantastic first half. We know he's still a really good player. And no one else could possibly compete with what we have. So we're willing to overpay just because we can. So no one else, you can't compete with that. It's impossible. Every other major sports organization has this figured out. The NFL, this is why football is king in America, because you can live in Kansas City, you can have a small market franchise like the Chiefs be an utterly dominant dynasty, whereas the Kansas City Royals had to sell the farm literally to get one World Series, which they barely won. They barely got it over the Giants. If they didn't, they would have destroyed their franchise for a decade for nothing. And that's how you have to win a World Series as a small market. And you still, there's no guarantees. It's playoffs. It's so difficult. The Brewers have had bites at the apple for years now. Forever, it feels like, since 2018, which I'm very blessed that I've been able to see amazing Brewers baseball. But it's just not feasible for that to happen in Major League Baseball, and that's a travesty.
The Dodgers?
Oh. Forgot I had my mic
off.
Yeah,
I need to turn the mic off.
The Dodgers were brought to a Game 7 by the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yep.
And they still ended up pulling it out. But
and the Blue Jays spent a lot of money, too, which I will give them. Still not as much as the Dodgers.
Not as much as
the
Dodgers. But
that's the thing. And the Dodgers needed a ton to break their way. But somehow, they're just God's chosen team. It's frustrating. The Dodgers are ruining baseball, and that's that.
Scared money don't make money. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Young, that is riled up here on the Saturday Scramble. We got to wrap up and get into what's heading up on the noon hour, wrap up the Saturday Scramble, some quick talk. And finally, Riley, on top of wearing the Bears jersey, has some lovely words to say to send off to our Saturday Scramblers. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Young, this is a Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN.
Stay tuned. Saturday Scramble continues after this on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
The Saturday Scramble on 100.5 ESPN. I forgot I'm rocking the Dodger jersey, too. Let me, because as we finish up here on the Saturday Scramble, Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch, here on 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, and the ESPN Wisconsin app. Riley Yauch, repping the Walter Payton jersey. We have just a couple more minutes. Once again, Brian Gutekunst, Matt LaFleur, it looks like moves are happening over by off Lombardi Avenue, but to finish off the bet, Riley, he has some final words that he himself wrote. And I totally did not write.
Yes.
After this bet. Riley, please.
Pablo Iglesias had nothing to do with this. It had nothing to do with the bet.
Written statement.
All right, here we go. Caleb Williams, what a guy. To my fellow Packers fans, it is with a happy heart, boisterous voice, an immense joy that I announce it is time to acknowledge the unthinkable. The Bears don't suck. And before you accuse me of losing my Wisconsin card, let me be clear. I'm a Wisconsinite through and through. I've lived the Favre years, the Rodgers years, the smug comfort of knowing Chicago would eventually Chicago itself out of relevance. That assumption is dead. Caleb Williams is legit. The Bears are functional, competent, good, even. Which, frankly, feels like a clerical error that hasn't been corrected yet. So, yes, I will proudly support Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears tomorrow. Ooh-ah! And for the rest of the postseason. The new owners of the NFC North for years to come. The Bears own the Packers. The Bears own the Packers. The tide has turned. The future is orange and navy. And Packers fans are left asking honest questions like, wait, are we the team that wastes good quarterbacks now? To wrap things up, I'll leave you with this. Good, better, best. Never let it rest. Till your good gets better.
And your better gets best. Pablo Iglesias, Riley Yauch here live for the Everlight Service.
That was good. That hurt. That sucks. Get this out of my face.
This is the Saturday Scramble. Alabama, Oklahoma, college basketball coming up next. We'll see you next week. Peace.